it's the Mike Tech Show, show number 431. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show. Facebook, send me a friend request, facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. We got the wiki that has links to all of the past shows. That's mtswiki.com. Tonight's show, I'm very, very fortunate that I'm able to even record, because this is now on the heels of Hurricane Sandy that has ripped through our area and the surrounding states. And first, my thoughts and prayers go out to all of the families that have been impacted by this devastating storm. And the Jersey coast, the shoreline, is just ravaged. New York City is going through just a terrible issues with the flooding and power outages. My neighborhood, so the suburbs of Philadelphia, got hit really hard. I have neighbors, their houses are completely destroyed, and yet my house, I've had some big issues, and I'm going to talk about it, but nothing compared to everybody else. And I just hope that all of you are, you know, get power. If you don't have power, you get it soon, and that you're safe and sound. My prayers and thoughts go out to everybody that's been impacted by this. We're going to cover how it relates to tech, having a power outage, and things that you can do, and what do you do if you don't have a generator. And I'm going to tell you how I got through our power outage. Then my clients and client stories of what I was going through with some clients. And I got clients that are still being impacted with no power. And I have a nice stack of email that I'm going to get to, lots of great questions and comments. First, I want to thank Instant House Call for being a sponsor of the Mike Tech Show. And you know, for remote access, you need a reliable tool to be able to have a customer or client just quickly go to a site, download the client fast, and be able to connect and have all of the tools that you need to remote control and help a client. How about being able to record your whole session? How about to be able to reboot into safe mode quickly? Or just chat with a dialogue with the client at the other end. Have it quickly transferring files. Instant House Call is your only answer for remote control. You can start providing remote control to your customers today with Instant House Call. It's easy for your customers and powerful for your business. Mike Tech Show listeners can try it free for 15 days. Click on the link on my website or go to instanthousecall.com and download the free trial. Enter the promo code Mike Tech Show. So Monday night, my family and I, we just finished dinner and we were watching TV and things were good. We can hear the winds howling outside, but we were safe and comfortable and warm. And all of a sudden, power goes out. Well, that's not to be unexpected. I mean, of course, the with all the storms and all the trees where I'm at, you know, that was bound to happen. We start lighting candles, getting them ready. We're lighting the candles, and I hear a scream from my wife who was looking out the front window, and I heard, "Oh my God, the tree's down, the tree's down." Michael, hear my name being called, and I come running, and I see what you get, it's hard to really see because of the rain and the wind, and it's so pitch black dark, but you can see this 100-foot tree in front of the window, just going sideways in front of our house. So I go down from the living room and I go to the, and I open the front door and I look to my right, and we have another 100-foot tree that's also down. And again, that went down to the right to our neighbor, but I'm not sure if it reached our neighbor's house or not. So now I'm worried about the safety of our neighbor. So we're quickly putting on, throwing on jackets, getting our shoes on, and grab flashlights. And this is right in the middle of the hurricane. And we go around to check on my neighbor because it's an older couple and we're not just sure how far that tree reached. It did not hit their house, but it totally blocked them in. So it blocked the entire driveway, but it missed the cars and it missed the house. If you were to see a picture of these trees, basically we're at each side of our property in our front yard, and to think that they could fall and not hit anything is just unbelievable. I am so thankful that nobody got hurt. And it was so hard to be in that mindset Monday night because you just see your own problem and the trees down and oh my God. But the next day when I was going through the neighborhood and just seeing the devastation through parts of my neighborhood, it puts it all in perspective where houses were crushed. We were lucky in our area, no lives lost, but there were a lot of lives lost on the East Coast for this terrible storm. I am just thankful my family made it out okay. We were without power for 36 hours. I was able to contact the night of the storm a tree removal service, and I was able to get them out here. Now, they weren't able to help us Tuesday because there was a lot more serious problems, but Wednesday morning, they were out and they cleared everything out. So now I'm in the middle of working with that crew. They were talking to me, going over a couple things. During this time, I now get a phone call from my biggest client. They just got power to their office, and as we did, and the server's up, but they can't get out to the internet. They got two internet connections. They know the Fios connection's working, but when they plug it into the network, nothing's happening. Comcast is down, and they're dealing with a minor flooding issue also. Mike, can you help us out? And I'm literally around the corner from them, and I am describing what I am going through. And I said, give me an hour. I just got to finish up here for an hour. And can you hang in there without internet for an hour? And they could hang in there. And they understood, as I told them, I've got these massive trees being removed from my property right now. And I will get over there. They were very, very understanding. At the same time, I get another call from another client that's in a different area. They're actually in Plymouth Meeting, and they have no Comcast. So it seems like Comcast in the whole area, the suburbs, from the business services, they were down. Because I also got another client, but they were also in Plymouth Meeting. So we had two Plymouth Meeting clients and a client near me where I live, all no Comcast access. We finished up in the trees. They were almost done. And I said, guys, okay, I'm going to leave because they were just finishing up. No problem. And I took off. I went to my client. Something interesting happened, and I don't know when. We always had the Fios router configured so they could just plug it right into their network in case there was an outage with Comcast. My client messed it all up on which plugs, and I was like, if they read the doc that I left, which is just one page, it's just one plug. Well, somehow the Verizon router got reset. So all the programming that I did for that router, gone. And it was the wrong IP address. So once I realized that, I had my laptop, I plugged it in, and this was a laptop that was charged. And we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. So I plugged that in, and I was able to configure the router, and then I was able to move the plug over. I got them internet access. Now, they don't have email. This is something we have to work on because what do you do? And this is where a third party has to come in. What do you do when You have a static IP address because you have an exchange server, and you have to have that static IP address. But you get two different static IP addresses, one from Verizon, one from Comcast. To make a DNS change just doesn't make sense. So they were without inbound email during that outage. So what I really have to do is move them to a third-party, like Postini service, where email comes into Postini, and then we can go in and say which IP address we want to go to for email. So it's something I mentioned to my client that would make sense. So this way, if this ever happens again, because Comcast didn't come back up until last night. So they were basically out all day with no inbound email, but they had internet access and they had outbound email. Now, my reference to the notebook, when you're without power and you're living on your smartphones, how do you charge your smartphone when you don't have power? Well, of course, you got your car connections, but my wife and son had full tanks of gas. I did not. I didn't have time. I didn't get gas before the storm. So I'm below a quarter of a tank. And as luck would have it on Tuesday, there were no gas stations in my immediate neighborhood that had power. So I couldn't get gas. Okay, what do you do to charge? So I had my laptop behind me. Now, I didn't have internet access, but I plugged in and I was able to keep it charged. And that was great. And then I have this little portable battery backup. It's like a little for emergency, for jumping cars, or it acts as a compressor to fill air in a tire or air in a basketballs or footballs or whatever. This little backup generated enough power that I plugged in a surge strip, and Ryan and I quickly plugged in our iPhones that were down again to about 10%. Let me tell you, when you're trying to use your smartphone and that's the only thing you have for communicating, you burn through the battery. And that's where I really got to live the battery life of the iPhone 5. It's not much, not if you're doing a bunch of things. Now, I turned off the location services. I turned off Wi-Fi. I turned off Bluetooth. Turned off as many things as I could to keep the battery life for as long as I could, but it still needed multiple charges. But we were able to get through. You know, between our cars, there are three laptops in the house, and I burned two of them, all the power for charging. So given that, and then this little battery backup that we have, we were able to make it through. Boy, I tell you what, I missed having coffee and things like that. We need a generator. Generators, I know we should have bought one while everybody was running out to buy them, but I thought, we haven't lost power in a long time. And knock wood, the last 4 years where I've been currently living, we've been very, very lucky. And we haven't experienced the power outages like I did in the past, where I've lived in some areas that are just terrible. Just the hint, you know, you hear thunder, boom, you have no power, you know. So I know what it's like to be through multiple days with no power, and it's not fun. But we got through this, and we're all safe and sound. And the minute I got power and everything was up and I took care of everything, took care of my clients, I still have two clients with no power. No power right now. And they don't even know when they're going to get power. I had one client literally before the show that got power. I would have said three clients, but they got power. And here's how I noticed. The servers came up, Shadow Protect, seeing that it missed the backup and started backing up. So I didn't even know that they got power until all of a sudden I get an email notification that the backup worked. And I was like, oh, that server's on. Okay, great. I have a client I'm going to be going out to Monday. They're not power-related issues, but they have some other things. Tomorrow afternoon, I've already booked a client for some work. My clients were very, very lucky, and they were in areas like all my clients in Conshohocken seemed to fare very well. The storm didn't really hit them as much as it did some of the other areas. Comcast is now up for everybody that had that service, for the business service. I was fortunate that I had no calls from any clients on Tuesday, and I think Tuesday everybody was just like, just trying to deal with everything, all their personal issues, and just take a breath. So that was sort of Tuesday, where the storm was still lingering. It just wasn't as bad. Wednesday, now everybody wants to get back to work and everything's up and running. And so that's when I got a couple phone calls. But I am still surprised at how few calls I received. I was ready for just being crushed yesterday. And I just needed to first get through my trees being removed that were down. And then I figured, okay, I can dedicate the rest of the day for clients. I was just surprised at how little work I had to do. I'm glad. Everybody made out very, very well. I just hope all of you that's, you know, you're listening to the show, I hope that if you don't have power, that you get it soon, and that everybody's safe and sound, and that your family is safe, and hopefully you weren't in some of this total devastation that we're seeing on TV. Lessons learned, I have to buy some type of generator, regardless of how much it is, because just even to hook a refrigerator to it, you really need power for just some essentials. And that's something that I've always kept putting off getting a generator, but it's something that I got to just start putting money aside to, and it's something we got to do. And I keep wanting the whole shebang. I want the whole house on a generator. I have to say, okay, I can't put the whole house on a generator, but I can put some of the house. We could put a refrigerator. We could put something else maybe to charge our phones, maybe charge a laptop or do something. I don't know. But we did pretty good with candles, and we still had natural gas. We were able to light our stove, and we had heat. I have a gas fireplace in my office here, and that worked. So it was nice to be able to still have gas, and we have plenty of water because I have bottled water that I subscribe to Deer Park for the 3 5-gallon jugs a month. So we have a ton of water, and so we had no problem with water being able to cook. It was no problem. Used the gas grill on Tuesday, and since you had no power, the first thing you start doing is hitting the freezer, you know, and start cooking things that were in the freezer because they're going to start to go bad. So we hit that. That's it for the storm. And before I get to email, I want to talk about a project that Steve Cherubino, my good friend Steve, who's down in Florida, who's making a career change, which you probably know about. And he is looking to do his own CD and music. And he has a project at Kickstarter that I am going to put into the show notes. When he reaches his goal, he will turn the network of Podnuts over to someone. That's great. And we want to see the Podnuts torch carried on. So if you go to podnuts.com/Kickstarter, very simple, just /Kickstarter, check out Steve's project and help him out. Help him meet his goal. Steve, I wish you all the luck making that happen. Let's get to some email. This email is from Bob. Hey, Mike, it's been a while since we've spoken, but the good news is that I haven't missed a single Mike Tech show. I learn so much every time I listen to you. Only wish my schedule permitted me to join in the chat when you do your live show. By the way, has your family started using any baby sign language? Oh, Bob, now I know exactly who you are. Yes, I actually gave your software to my daughter-in-law with my grandson. He is the author of the sign language software for babies, and he gave me a set that's very cool. So, Bob, thank you, and I'll follow up with that and talk about that down the road. Don't forget that it's never too late to begin, even if the little ones have already started talking. Every child will still benefit in so many ways by engaging in American Sign Language signs along with verbal speech. Anyway, I thought I might share a link to a large file transfer tool that could be of interest to many of your followers. It's called WeTransfer. So www.wetransfer.com. It offers a large limit of 2 gig per transfer, permits an unlimited number of files to be sent within each 2 gig maximum transfer session, permits an unlimited number of transfer sessions, requires no client app at the receiving end, which is great when you're trying to transfer files to a non-tech savvy person, requires no registration or account setup, can send one payload to as many as 20 recipients at once. Wow, this is pretty cool. Works with both Mac and PC. Not sure about Linux. And sends the originator a notification email to let them know when the files have been downloaded at the receiving end. Claims to securely encrypt all files that are held on their servers. Oh, and did I mention that it's all for free? It's ad-supported. I've used its several iterations of similar tools, but this one seems to provide the most bang for no bucks and is extremely simple at the receiving end, which is very important and very, very important. And then that's an added bonus. I can't yet attest to the security of WeTransfer, so I would suggest not sending any sensitive data without first doing some further research. One precaution, once you've uploaded a file, you can't pull it back down. Think three times before pulling the trigger. Anyway, just my small contribution towards your great efforts. Thank you for always leaving the world much better than you find it, Mike. I sure wish everyone had the same perspective on life. Keep up the awesome work. Bob, that's great. Thank you. We actually had a conversation about that a long time ago where we feel at the core, which is you hope that you left the world better than you entered it, that you just leave it a little better place. That's all we can hope for, right? This is from Seth. Hi, Mike. I've been a listener to your podcast for nearly 4 years. I must admit, lately it has been difficult to find time to listen on a consistent basis. But whenever I find time, your experiences in the trenches are always both interesting and beneficial. I have a question for you and your audience with regards to intranets. I just started working at a small business of less than 30 employees across three physical locations. All locations are within 30 miles from each other. We need a way to share Word, Excel, and PDF documents. Also, having the ability to limit write permissions to only management is needed. Our current intranet is extremely simple. I use quotes because the simplicity is surprising, yet thus far it has worked. A directory is shared on our SBS 2008 server. Users join the domains and map a shared directory. Within this directory, all our required documents, some links to outside resources, and HTML files. All users have home pages, are set to navigate, and it's just the SBS 2008 intranet index by default. Yes, very simple. This has worked in the past, but as many branches have opened over the years and more files have been uploaded, this solution is no longer viable. Do you or your listeners have any recommendations for a solution? Absolutely. This is where SharePoint, you have it with SBS 2008. Start exploring SharePoint because SharePoint, you can check in and check out documents. You have the site level and object level security that you're looking for, and it's all web-based, so it makes it very, very easy. All of your locations to access this intranet and publish and share documents, and oh my gosh, there's so much to learn and so much to use. SharePoint portal is where you want to be. I didn't even read the rest here to see where he's heading. And I must stress that the IT knowledge is limited here currently. Well, somebody's got to go away and be trained in SharePoint to be able to manage that, and that should be you. The IT manager, he has zero HTML, intranet, SharePoint type experience and focuses more on user and support and maintenance of employees' computers. And me, with my BS in IS, working as an intern. What have I looked in thus far? For simplicity, simply redesign the HTML files. Well, he has WordPress in VM. SharePoint Core 3.0. Already installed on SBS 2008, but never used. SharePoint is probably our choice, yet we have some questions and concerns. Does SharePoint raise any security issues? No. No, not at all. How good is backup? Can I back up all SharePoint configurations? How hard long does it take for a restore? Here's what I do. Because it's SBS, buy Shadow Protect, and therefore SharePoint, what you'd be able to do is you would always be able to mount a backup and copy any SharePoint files that you would need to be able to do a site recovery or anything else. He goes on, the SBS 2008 box is only a year or two old. Oh, that's great. But if we upgrade to SBS 2011 or Server 2012 basic version, can we convert our current SharePoint content easily? Not sure. Is SharePoint stable? Yes, it is. So what I recommend here is exploring and learning SharePoint and getting that up and running. And you're going to have to do some reading, take a class. I know my last corporate job, we sent people away to just learn SharePoint to be able to get that up. Matter of fact, we had a manager literally hired to just manage the SharePoint portal and get everything organized. This is how we would manage and track projects. SharePoint's your answer, and I believe you can easily convert to any future version. Backing up SharePoint is tricky. I don't like any of the specific tools that like Backup Exec has, and there's some other programs that I don't like the SharePoint specific tools. They always caused us heartache and problems. Shadow Protect just backs up everything. So you just can't go wrong with that. And especially on a small business server. I hope that helps. Let me know how you make out, Seth, and where you're heading. Will follows up. This is where he sent me an email about the systems in the office and with the networking issue. And he follows up, thanks, Mike, for the suggestion, but we figured it out about a week ago. I'm sorry I took so long to get to the email. The issue was the router. Remember I said it might be the switch or a router? For some reason, it would mess with the DNS. Remember, when in doubt, DNS. We tried the factory resetting the router to the factory defaults, but it wouldn't boot back up anymore. After replacing the router, everything works great. For VPN, they were using Hamachi, but now I set them up with the Windows 7 built-in VPN. I also added a Windows 7 file sharing PC to the other office, that VPN into the home server, so that the other office doesn't have to share all their workstation VPN into the home server. So far, it's working efficient, no lag at all. Man, this was driving me nuts, but thank you again for all your suggestions. Thanks for following up with us. This is from Brian. Hi, Mike. I'm starting a part-time computer repair business, and I'm looking for a way to save paper and ink. An idea popped in my head. Why can't I use a tablet for customer checklists and receipts? Using a tablet, in theory, would allow me to save all the records to the cloud and email customers the work that I have performed. I currently don't own a tablet, and I don't have a preference between Android or iPad, although I would prefer to avoid the Windows 8 tablets. Actually, you might want to look into an Ultrabook. Do you have any suggestions for a tablet and software that would allow me to use my own checklists and receipts, have the ability to write notes and use checkmark boxes and email the results to customers? Brian, I'm actually in the process of gathering all of the tablet information that's out there for all the tablets. Now, I don't personally know this, but just from looking at some of the reviews, I want you to take a good, hard look at an Ultrabook running Windows 8. Here's why. It's at its core, it's a full PC. So you can have all the software you're running and you're not limiting yourself to just making do with an app to do what you want to do. And it can flip and be a tablet. It's that thin and that flexible. I don't know what the prices are, and it might be out of your price range, but a tablet, and this is not a Surface tablet, because there's a problem with some Surface tablets where you can't run a full functioning office, and it's a nightmare to do updates. Yeah, could you believe this? So there are some flaws with some Windows 8 Surface tablets where I've been reading just tons of problems. You need a full laptop. And I would go with the thinnest, smallest laptop. And if it happens to be able to the screen to be able to rotate and it can be a tablet, now you're looking at the flexibility of Windows 8, where you go to desktop mode when you're in the desktop for the Ultrabook and then flip it and it's the tablet. And now that, quote, Metro interface you can take advantage of on the tablet. But remember, those Windows 8 apps are very slow in hitting the market right now. I'm going to be doing a future show where I've been really beating up Windows 8 and I've learned a lot and I have lots of tips. And I'm also trying to incorporate that into doing the research on the tablets. But for right now, it's hard to pick something. I am less familiar with the Android world, but I will say this. I thought of taking an iPad to clients. So maybe the way to do it is if you're going to be in the Apple world, or for that matter, any world, you always got Evernote. So Evernote is on every platform, and you can use that software for notes for clients and checklists, and I think that's a great idea. If you ever have to print something for a client, there's HP mobile printers that are Bluetooth and work on a battery, and they're very small. I actually have a client that I've installed two, and as a matter of fact, I'm finishing the installation on one of their printers tomorrow, and they're a title insurance company, and they got to be able to go out there and be able to print things on site, and they got to have no cables and be able to have a nice print. And these HP mobile printers are very cool. So if you ever got to do some hard paper printing at a site, this is a printer that can literally fit in your bag that you could take out, just plop, hit a button, and be able to print. So you have to be able to, let's say if you want to do that kind of printing, the device you has to be able to communicate with that type of printer. Will an iPad communicate with that? I'm not sure. I'll have to take a look at that. I know absolutely that an Ultrabook with Bluetooth built in, you're going to be able to have that HP driver to be able to print to it. This is from Michael, and Michael has provided us a new server checklist. Hi, Mike. Love your show. I've been listening since episode 1. I have been asked to install a new server and upgrade the network for my church's rectory. They have 5 PCs and a few Macs. The original server wasn't set up properly, no DNS or DHCP. Active Directory was installed, but without DNS. That's impossible. So no wonder it didn't work. It wasn't doing anything because the event logs on the client said they couldn't find the server and it took forever to log on. That's when you know there's a DNS problem. I reconfigured the old server with DNS, DHCP, and the complaints stopped about logging in. We now have a new Dell T320 with 8 gigs of RAM, quad-core processor, 1 terabyte of RAID 5 storage with an 8-bay hot swappable chassis, so we can add more storage as needed. I decided on SBS 2011 Essentials for the case of use for them, and it seems to meet their requirements, and it allows 25 users, so the licensing was cheaper. They don't need Exchange or SQL. Since the old server was really not doing anything other than sharing some files for an application they use for the church members, I'm not going to go through the trouble of a server migration. Most people were sharing 2 logons. I decided to just start with a fresh server and a new domain. That's a great idea. This way, I can eliminate all the strange settings from the old server. Another way, it just would have been a NAS device at that point. You know, if someone only needs storage and they're not sharing and serving up a true client server application, then look at a NAS device. That actually simplifies things. I just don't think the settings were worth moving. I created a checklist to help guide me through the process. I plan on using FABS Auto Backup for Tech to back the client's documents and desktops up before I change them to a work group and then join them to the new domain. I was wondering if you could look at my list and tell me if I forgot something. I've done this for myself with my own network and SBS boxes, but when something goes wrong on my network, It's just not an inconvenience. For the church, it would be more than an inconvenience. Thank you for your time and the great content you provide every week. Thank you, Michael, and I will go through the checklist. Here's what I'll try to do. It may not be in this week's show notes, but over the weekend, I will modify the checklist and then post it up. So I'll begin with Michael's. I'll add my 2 cents, and then let's see what happens. And let's see if we get a nice server checklist. Last email from Jason. Windows 8, 32-bit or 64-bit? This is a no-brainer. This is easy. First off, want to thank you for all you do. This is Jason from Rancho Cordova, which I had a data center out there, California. Upgrading a laptop hard drive to an SSD and wanting to also upgrade to Windows 8 from 32-bit to 64-bit, what is the best way? Well, there's only one way. It's a complete reinstall clean. You cannot upgrade 32-bit to 64-bit, and that's any of the operating systems. It's a complete redo, unfortunately. And anytime you're putting a new OS on, you absolutely want to put 64-bit on that SSD. That is the ultimate combination. And one of the things he adds here, I will also be purchasing Windows 8 and the SSD with your Amazon link. I want to thank you for doing that, because if you go to amazon.micnation.net or miketechshow.com/Amazon, you will find your prices are the same, but when you purchase something from Amazon, that makes a donation to the Mike Tech Show. And what you heard from the beginning of the show, I can use all of the generosity and donations that you can muster up to help support the show. I truly will greatly appreciate it. So please spread the word on my Amazon link. If you're buying anything, please use my link and help support the show. I want to thank you. But getting back to Windows 8 here, I have my SSD running with Windows 8 64-bit. There's no reason in the world to even consider 32-bit. Unless there's vertical applications that you have to worry about in a particular market. And I know, and I'm going to get the emails from people that say, oh, we got to have 32-bit, you know, it doesn't work. Yes, but they are so few for a home, for you, your own personal system. Unless you have an obscure driver, or guess what? You're going to probably have problems with Windows 8 anyway. You probably shouldn't even upgrade at that point. But if you have, you know, just standard printers, standard devices, 64-bit, that's the way to go. This way you can break that 3 gig memory barrier, because I don't even recommend you using Windows 7 or Windows 8 unless you have 4 gig of memory. Just use 64-bit. But remember, when you're adding Office, do not use the 64-bit version of Office, because you restrict yourself to no add-ins. Even Microsoft does not recommend the 64-bit version of Office. Use the 32-bit version when you're installing Office. So with that, I have some music for the end of the show here tonight. And I was so disappointed to receive my email that Green Day, they canceled their concerts for January and February. So I was all set to see Green Day in January, and they canceled because their lead singer is in rehab. Hope you get well, Billy Joe, and get back. And they are going to reschedule. So I'm keeping my tickets, and they'll be good for the date for whenever they reschedule. So with that, my oldest son put me on to this cover song from Green Day that Alanis Morissette did on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. Give a listen to her rendition of Basket Case.
Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once? And I am one. Sometimes I give myself the creeps. Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me. It all keeps shedding up. I think I'm cracking up. Am I just paranoid or am I stoned? Sometimes I give myself the creeps. Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me.
An unbelievable version of Basket Case. And when I heard that, I was like, wow, I must share that. So that is a very, very different rendition of Basket Case. So I hope you enjoyed that. And boy, the only way to get that, I think, is from Jimmy Kimmel's website. So I will link back to the video of her appearance on Jimmy Kimmel for that. So great. Glad my son did let me in on that. So I want to thank everybody for downloading and staying subscribed, and just thank you so much for all of your support. Not only your support for my Amazon links, my sponsor, Instant House Call, but Fab's Auto Backup for Tech. I put that link in every show notes. You know that's the most incredible software to copy settings and data from any Windows version to any other. I mean, it is the definitive software. And my Malwarebytes link, which is great. And I have that link on the website. So thank you for all your support. I really appreciate it. And that's it. And I will see you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.